Let us pray. Father God, please open the eyes of our hearts and bless our understanding, Lord, of your word. In Jesus' name I pray with forgiveness of sin. Amen. Okay, Genesis chapter 33. That's the chapter that we are going to look. Please pray for me. I'm so nervous. I think it's one of those chapters for you to understand. You almost have to go back a little bit in previous chapters to kind of piece together what it meant. So thank you so much for the children's story. I think that the children were quite happy, but with the adults, we were a bit confused by the post office and the boxing glove. But I think that we all got the message, and that's exactly what we are going to talk about and think. So I really want to praise God for the word, because, you know, it's something to be there, but it's another thing to have the word of God, and you can go back over and over and over and read. And each time you go and read, you get a different viewpoint. You get something that you say, oh, I did not see that last time. So forever we can grow. Forever there is something that we can get. So it's really quite humbling to think that God thought about putting this together just for us, just for learning, just for our understanding, just to grow and just to apply to our lives. So please do not neglect the word. Spend time in the word. Whatever that we have as problem, we can go to the word and find something that speaks to us. So the word is there. Please use it for us, for our children. So chapter 33, if you have your Bibles, you can follow along. So in chapter 33, it says Jacob and Esau's meet. And so I said that we need to go back a little bit on time. So the last time these two were together, so I will need some help, Bible students. So the last time they met, how many years ago was that? The last time that they saw each other. When was that? 19 years ago. 20 years ago, okay, 20 years ago. What happened 20 years ago? When they met the last time, how was it? What happened? Okay, he stole the birthright, okay? And so when he stole the birthright, I mean, did he steal it or did he? Yeah? Deception? Okay, yes, okay, he stole it, okay? That's the consensus in church, okay? So he stole it, okay? And so when he stole it, so what happened? What were the consequences of that action? The brother was angry, so that's Esau, and he threatened to kill him. So therefore, he has to flee for his life. So for 20 years, they haven't met, okay? So for 20 years, Jacob was in Padan Aram, and Esau stayed in Canaan. And now in chapter 32, God says to Jacob, also, by the way, they are twin brothers. Yeah, so they are twin brothers, and Esau is the older one. So therefore, the birthright did belong to Esau because he was older. So so God said to Jacob in chapter 32, you know, then go back to the land, go back to Canaan, and I will be with you. And there he is, he decide to go back. Now, before we looked at this chapter, because looking at characters is important. So Esau saw the birthright, and the Bible says that he despised it. So the Bible does not have a good, a good love maybe for Esau. Malachi chapter 1, verse 3, and Romans 3, verse 19 says that God loved Jacob and hated Esau. So therefore, the Bible does not have a good view of Esau. Yeah. When he stole the birthright, why did he steal the birthright? What was that about? Because it's interesting in Jacob's character is that one thing that he desired above all was to be used by God. Yes, he made mistakes by stealing it because I don't think that God needed his help, you know, in order to use him. But in his mind, he thought that if he has the birthright, then he will have the spiritual blessing that comes with the birthright. And that led him to make some mistakes. And so there we are in chapter 33, 20 years later, they are meeting. And it says that in verse 1, so Jacob lifted up his eyes and looked, and there Esau was coming, and with him were 400 men. That's a lot of people. They are men. Yeah, that's quite a little army, you know. It's bigger than this church. So you can imagine that Jacob, he is alone. He has his wife, his children, and 400 men are coming, and he's looking at that. So what do you think is happening in his mind? God told him to go back, and he's seeing 400 men. Is he saying, oh, well, God is with me, so nothing to fear. Let's go. How is he feeling? Fearful, that's right. He's feeling fearful. He doesn't know how Esau was going to react for him to come back, because the last time that they met, Esau wanted to kill him. So now he's a bit fearful. But despite the fact that he's fearful, he devised a plan. So he puts the children and the maidservant first, then Leah and his children, and then Rachel with Benjamin and Joseph at the end. And he is walking in front of them. Seven times Esau is coming. He has his vision in Esau. Seven times he's bowing down to the ground. What do you think why he's bowing down to the ground? What do you think is that? That's why he's showing humility. Mm-hmm. So, and you can see that the way that he's approaching the whole thing is a very from a humble perspective. Seven times, Esau is looking at him, he's looking at Esau, and each time he's bowing down. He's bowing down. He's not only worshiping God, he's only saying to God, may your will be done and be with me, but at the same time, he's showing Esau that, listen, you are my older brother. I submit to your authority. I have nothing against you. I desire for us to be in peace, to be brothers. And yes, I know 20 years ago, I took the birthright, but the birthright, it wasn't about goods. It wasn't about material blessing. It was just about spiritual blessing. And so he's really showing humility in the way that he's approaching Esau. And there we come to that beautiful verse in verse 4 where he says that, but Esau ran to meet him, embraced him, and fell on his neck and kissed him, and they wept. It's really beautiful because these are the two main characters of the story. And these are two men, two strong men. and they are embracing each other. They are weeping. They are very, very happy to see each other. So in 20 years, God has touched Esau's heart. Jacob is no longer the same man, but Esau as well has changed. God has done his work. And I think that for us is really beautiful because it tells us that God is at work in the heart of our parents, in the heart of our spouse, in the heart of our children. It doesn't matter. Let us just be humble and let us just continue to pray, continue to move towards Zion. And God will arrange things in the background. And I think that for us, particularly in those difficult times where there is so much tension in family, it says that we can trust God. We can be humble. We don't have to be in people's face. Come from a point of humility and allow God to touch their hearts. Allow God, the Holy Spirit, to do the work on our behalf. And also the humility that Jacob is approaching the things. In chapter 32, it says that, verse 14, he says, so he sent to Esau before him 200 female goats and 20 male goats, 200 hoof and 20 ram, 30 male camel and their colt, 40 cows and 10 bull, 20 female donkeys and 10 foal. And he delivered them to his main servant and separated them into packs. And each time he says, you know, these are gifts from your servant Jacob. These are gifts from your servant Jacob. And it's really interesting because I think that by doing that, Jacob is showing that, yes, it's true. 20 years ago, I took the birthright, but it wasn't about goods. It wasn't about material possession. Look, God has blessed me. You know, I'm not after the inheritance. I'm not after what you have. I have plenty. And I so much have plenty that I am giving you some. You know, I'm blessing you with some. And I think that very is interesting because as Christian, I love it when Carl project for Titan offering, we see it, the story about the promise offering, which I do love the word because sometimes I think that saying free will offering is a bit confusing because we have this idea that because it's free will, we give whenever we want, however we want, but actually that's not at all what free will mean. So by being called promise offering, it shows that it's a commitment that we make to God. And so if as a spouse, if as a wife, I decide that I'm going to return 20% of my income to church, is because I have decided on my walk with God. This is my promise plan. And so my spouse might not understand why I'm doing that. And that might bring argument. But it's a commitment that we make to God. It's my walk with God, and I make a commitment that this is what I desire in my relationship with God. And I think that's what Jacob is doing with Esau. He's saying that we are not enemies. Yes, I took the birthright, but it was a spiritual blessing that I was looking after. I wanted God to use me. It wasn't about material things. And I think that is very important that in our lives, we really show that the commitment that this work that we are, that we have got baptized, we have chosen to walk with God, is a commitment. And everything that we have is in part of that package. There is nothing that is separate. This is a whole lifestyle of dependence of God and trusting God and believing that by partnership with God, that we will bring his kingdom to this earth until he comes to establish his kingdom. So it's really a total package. And I think that's what Jacob is trying to convey to Esau, that it's not about the material gain, but it's really about the spiritual blessing. And that's what happened 20 years ago. But now today, he so much desired them for them to live in peace, to be reconciled, and to live as brothers, and just live peacefully, that there is no hard feeling. And so you can imagine that in verse 4, chapter 33, when they are weeping, there is no need to talk about the past, because I think that they are both changed, and also the fact that Esau is understanding that, you know, Jacob is not after his possession. And so when in verse 5, and he says that, and he says, he's lift up his eyes and saw the woman and children and said, who are these with you? And he says, the children whom God has graciously given your servant. And then all of them came one by one and bow down as well in humility to say, you are my husband, elder brother, and we acknowledge your authority, and we are humble, your servant. So all of him and his household are showing to Esau that they respect him and that they don't mean any harm and that they really want to find favor in his eyes. And then in verse 8, when Esau say, what do you mean by all this company which I've met? And he said, these are to find favor in the sight of my Lord. And it's interesting because Esau says that, I have enough, you can keep them. So you see, so there is no need to quarrel, because God has blessed both of them tremendously financially. So there is no need to quarrel over money, over camel, over cars, over inheritance. It's not about the money. It's really about the spiritual blessing. And I really love the fact that, of course, Isaac did bless Esau as well with the fatness of the earth. So therefore, he's not a poor man. He did receive as well a blessing from his father. But I really love the fact that the Bible says that God is good and he is gracious to all of his creatures. The sun rises upon the wicked, the just, he is gracious towards all of us. And so therefore, even Esau, as wicked as he is, as the Bible says, he from his own mouth, he can testify that, yes, I have enough. God has blessed me. He doesn't acknowledge God in his life the way that he lives, but he can still testify that God is good to him. And I think that we can so much praise God for that. And I think that coming to a place that, there is so much difficulties financially in our world, and people are struggling, we can still say that God does provide. And God is really for us. Nothing good that we have come from the Father. So we can all creatures praise God for his benevolence towards each one of us. And not only that he has enough, but Jacob too have enough. But he also wants to bless him. He also wants to say that, you are my older brother. I'm so happy to see you. And I want to bless you with what God has given me. And that's what he does. He blessed Esau. He loves him. He shows his love. He shows his kindness towards him. And both of them are reconciled. And that was the purpose of that meeting for Jacob. It was really seeking to be at peace with Esau. And that is done. God has blessed the journey in that sense. And so now we come to the point that Esau is happy. Jacob is happy. They are reconciled. And Esau say, okay, let's move together. Let's go. But Jacob said no. Jacob say, well, you go on. And because you know that I have the children and I will need to manage them. Go at their pace. You go on. Now, it's interesting because I've read many commentaries that says that he is lying. He lied. Because at the end, he did not go where Esau was going. He went to Shechem. Did he lie? Was it a lie? I read many commentaries that says that. But somehow, I take a different perspective on that. Because he goes to Shechem, and he is the one that built a tabernacle. So it's verse 17, and he said, Jacob sojourned to Sukkot, built himself a house, and made booth for his livestock. Therefore, the name of the place is called Sukkot. Now, the reason that I said that I'm taking a different perspective, because Sukkot in the Bible is associated with dependence upon God. It's one of the feasts that we see that later on that the children of Israel has to observe. For 7 days they will live in tent as a reminder of the 40 years that they were in the wilderness and that cared for them. And it seems to me that when I was looking at it and thinking about all the pieces and praying that, well, if he named the place Sukkot, meaning dependence upon God, it could well be that the whole point of going back to Canaan is to show dependence upon God. He is showing humility before his brother because he's dependent upon God. So the whole scene of reconciliation, it is God that touched Esau's heart, you know, for him to find favor in him. And so Jacob is really coming to a place that it's not by his own will or his own power that he has came back to Canaan, but it is because God says so, and because he believes God, and because he's depending upon God for everything. And so there he is, that he is in the land because God says so. And so therefore he departs from his brother, not because he's lying, but I think that there is that place that God is leading him in that journey. And this is where God leads him. So therefore, he stays there. He doesn't go further to go and dwell with his brother. And because the purpose was not for them to come together, but the purpose was for them to be reconciled as brothers. And that has been done. And I think that is... It was Pastor Cavallo in July that was preaching that God sent us into the world and we are to be wise as serpent, but we are to remain sheep. We are to remain doves. We are to be peacemaking. And being wise, it means that when you are reading the Bible and the story of those two brothers, they are on two separate journeys, you know. Esau and his descendants are the enemy by excellence. they constantly are causing trouble for Israel, constantly hating them, constantly trying to kill them. So yes, they are brothers, but they are on two separate paths. Jacob is on the way to Zion. That's where he's walking. I'm marching to Zion. Esau has made his choice. He's not walking to Zion. His descendants are not walking to Zion. Yes, they are brothers. Yes, they have to live in peace. Yes, they have, there is reconciliation. But they need as well the need to be wise, is that they cannot mix. They just cannot mix. And so Jacob, the Lord led him to a different path, and he stays away from Esau. And so for us, I think that when I was looking at this, is really that dependence upon God, humility, dependence upon God. And also looking at the other, despite the fact that Esau is an enemy, he sees in Esau, when he says to them, to him, when they depart, is that, no, I have found favor in your eyes, and seeing you, in verse 15, let me read it in verse 15, and he says, now let me leave you with some men, some of the people who are with me. But he said, what is near, dear? Let me find favor in the sight of my Lord. And I think that's all he needed, is to find favor in his sight. And in verse 10, he says, and Jacob said to him, no, please, if I've now found favor in your sight, then receive my present from my hand, in as such as I have seen your face, as though I have seen the face of God, and you were pleased with me. And I really love this, because despite the fact that they are enemies, despite the fact they are in two separate journeys on their lives, Jacob recognized God's face in Esau. Jacob recognized that Esau is someone that God loves, is someone that God wants to save, is someone that God desires for him to have a relationship with. And all of last week, we had the week of prayer about mission. And I always say, and also in this text, that we cannot be missionaries. We cannot go and see people unless we ourselves, we see God's face when we are looking at them. That they are precious in God's sight. Yes, they are not on the same journey. Yes, your children might decide to be enemies of God. Yes, your spouse might decide to be an enemy of God. But nevertheless, when you look at them, do you still see the face of God in them? Do you still recognize that Jesus died for them? Do you still recognize that Jesus wants to save them? And if you do, and if I do, then the place of humility is the place that I will take. Because through me, the same way that Jacob so much desire for God to use him in order to build his kingdom, to bring about the Messiah, the prophecy of the Messiah that we had in Genesis 3:15, is the same way that as we are looking at upon people that we are not in agreement with, do we see the face of God? And do we desire that God use us from a place of humility in order to talk to them, in order to love them, in order to live in peace with them? So this is the word today. May the Lord really bless us as we are all sitting here, is because that just like Jacob, who's called Israel, he's called Israel because he will not give up. That's what his name means. He will not give up. He desired to be used by God. And so let it be our own walk with God, that God will use us in order to bless others, in order to love others, but as well to be wise in terms of deciding where we are going to live. If someone is not a good influence, then hey, you know, you are not going to let your children mix with them. Yeah. But still, even though we might be wise, but we still love them. And still, from a place of humility, God can use us in order to speak to them as he sees fit. May God bless us as we decide to be used by him. Amen.